This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Jeff Schwartz, former NFL offensive lineman, Fox Sports, will join us. We'll go over NBA playoffs. He's got some thoughts and bets in NHL playoffs, NFL draft, NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year, Defensive Rookie of the Year. So excited. A lot to talk to Jeff about. Some people might think of Jeff as just a football guy, but trust me, Jeff is betting and watching these sports all day, every day. He is on top of it. So excited to talk to Jeff. And I'll start with the NBA here. And look, I've said it in the past, coming into these playoffs, don't spend much time on the NBA regular season. The NBA regular season is seems like a lost cause. It's basically an 82-game preseason, but they still have a fantastic postseason. And what a postseason. What a weekend it was in the NBA playoffs. Just really good game after really good game. A bunch of classic finishes. Boston and Orlando are playing right now, and then we got one game later. So we will catch up on those series in the Wednesday show if need be. But I'll start with the Lakers and the T-Wolves. And I thought watching that game, Lakers led by 10, middle of the fourth quarter, it felt like whoever won that game was going to win that series. And Minnesota comes back and wins the game. Lakers had plenty of chances to put the game away. They got some extra points with the Gobert flagrant late, who got frustrated and put his forearm, his elbow into the head of LeBron. And LeBron made a couple free throws, missed one. And then with a 10-point lead, it was quickly cut to four. And that was just, it felt like that all game where LA would get a lead, Minnesota would claw back. LA would build it back up, Minnesota would claw back. Minnesota wasn't really able to get over the hump for the most part. I know they did lead at half, which, boy, that was a bad beat if you had Lakers first half. But that felt like the Lakers were in control for most of it. The Lakers just could not put the game away. They left the door open, and Minnesota barges through. It looks like Luka is just not in great shape at the end of these games. He doesn't have the stamina. His performance falls off a cliff. They did not play well in the fourth quarter. He was sixth in game three on Friday. And now the Lakers are in a position where they are 3-1, and they are facing elimination. They're not dead. When you're the higher seed, when you're the home team, it's different when it's 3-1 because if you're down 3-1 and you're the road team, like the Pistons are, like some of these other teams, you're dead because you're winning five on the road, then winning six at home, then winning seven on the road. That's asking a lot. Plus, you're the worst team to begin with in most cases because you're the lower seed. The Lakers, you can get five at home. I would expect them to, similar to when they were down 1-0. And then who knows? If you win game six, all of a sudden you have the advantage of game seven. So that's asking a lot. It's one step at a time. But I do think the Lakers will probably lose in six, but I would not completely count them out. I don't know that I would like the plus 370 on their series price enough to bet it. I saw they're down to 50-1 to win the title. That's not enough for me either, but we'll take it one step at a time. I do think they win game five here, and that is not until Wednesday. For some reason, I thought this was every other day. This series became every other day. I think after this game, if there is another game, it becomes every other day, which favors Minnesota, the younger team, the deeper team. But a bad loss for the Lakers, really bad loss. I think if they were able to get it to 2-2 with five at home, with seven at home, I think they would have found their way to the next round. And this is a situation where the winner of this series, with the way the bracket's set up, is very possibly going to be in the conference finals here, because not to discount Golden State, but we'll see when Butler comes back. Seems like he's going to be back Monday night. That's not a great team, especially if Butler's going to be banged up or somewhat compromised. If the Rockets ever got through, they are certainly vulnerable. So this is one where the Lakers really felt like they probably let one get away. Now, this is not a title team anyway. They don't have a lob threat for Luka. They don't have a big. They don't have depth. There's a lot of things missing. And if you're the Lakers, you know what? You somehow came away with this season with Luka Doncic, and you're happy. But it does feel like he needs to get into better shape to really be at his best down the stretch. And he dragged the team to the finals last year, so you can't kill him too much. But it does feel like he runs out of gas in these games. So I would look to lay the five with the Lakers. I do think this will come down to game six. And I would expect Minnesota to probably win it in six. The plus 370, again, not enough for me to fire on that. But I would not completely count out the Lakers yet either, just because they would have the five and the seven. They do have the five at home, and they would have the seven at home. And could have won either game in Minnesota. Luka was sick on Friday. That game was tied late. They really let the game on Sunday, game four, get away. And instead of 2-2, are up 3-1, and they're down 3-1, and they're facing elimination. The Knicks are probably going to put the Pistons away in five. That was a physical game. A lot of fouls just being ignored, a lot of whistle being swallowed, which, I don't have a problem with it. It's tough because I think most people like less refs, less fewer calls, less ref involvement. But it's tough because I picked the Pistons in six. I was rooting for the Pistons in this game. For some reason, I've rooted for Knicks in past years when I have no dog in the fight. I don't like this Knicks team as much. I don't like Towns. Brunson and the flopping and the getting to the line stuff bothers me. Something about this Knicks team being a favorite. I don't know. I don't like them as much. And I was rooting for Detroit in this game. So keep that in mind when I say that was definitely a foul at the end. But Harris, it seemed like his foot was out of bounds. They were swallowing the whistle a lot. But you get in this position where, okay, that's clearly a foul, but they weren't calling other fouls. So you have the right to not call this foul. It just gets very jumbled. The logic gets very jumbled when you start trying to discern what should be called when. That's why I'm of the belief if it's a foul, it's a foul, it's a foul. You just call it. You don't sit here and just, twist yourself into a pretzel saying, well, it's a foul, but there's 3 minutes left, so you can call it. But if there's 30 seconds left, you can't call it. To me, the guy went up in the air, he got bumped. Now, he went sideways into him, which that's the one thing where I don't feel too bad for him because he's seeking out the contact. But you can't bump a shooter like that. That should have been a foul. And maybe we have a 2-2 series. But again, in games like this, just to isolate the one call at the end that's missed, I'm sure the Knicks can look at it and say, hey, you missed this, this, and this call. And not that they all definitely even out, but you can't just isolate the one missed call against us and say it's not fair. But it was certainly a foul. Detroit is now drawing dead, I would think, in this series. I know they played well in the Garden here. So who knows? If you win this, you're home for six, and then who knows? But Detroit is not winning three in a row, two in the Garden, I wouldn't think. So we are likely looking at a Knicks-Celtics second-round series. Should be fun. I don't know that the Knicks would have enough to win it, but yeah, could they win a couple games and make it a six-game series? New York-Boston, that aspect of it, that will be fun, but we're not quite there yet. But I would expect the Knicks to close it out in five. Denver Clippers is the series of the first round. That was awesome on Saturday. I should have known Denver was going to win. Once Westbrook was out for Denver, that's when he is such a destructive player. He is such a negative player. He does stupid things. He gives you no spacing, no shooting. He thinks he's a great player. Once he was ruled out, and I think Denver's now 8-0 without Westbrook. I should have known that Denver was going to win. I didn't think they had that in them. I thought the Clippers were much better. And Denver had to play their whole starting lineup, I think, in the second half, and they were up as much as I think 18. Clippers tie it, and if that game ever went to overtime, Clippers were going to just run them off the floor. And then you get one of the great finishes of all time. I had no problem keeping it done. First of all, it's you couldn't tell. You could watch it 1,000 times. Yes, it's through the net, but the fingers are still on it. It's hard to say one way or another. They called it a dunk on the court, so you can't overturn it. And plus, the fact that you know what, tie goes to the fact that it was just an awesome play. And I had no problem with it being a dunk. I had no problem with the call. I thought it was a bucket. After review, I thought live it wasn't a bucket, but after watching this, I guess you have to keep it. Just an all-time great finish. I have all the basketball games I've watched that we've watched. I can't say I've ever seen an ending quite like that. I know people point out the Houston game with Valvano and the air ball that turns into a game winner, but that was not quite the air ball that turns into a dunk right at the buzzer where you have to sit there and analyze it for an hour and try to decide if it went or not. So I would think that goes seven. I picked it Denver in seven to start after the first few games. I said, you know what, Clippers are just better. This is probably going to be a Clippers in maybe six, if not shorter. Now I don't know what to think. I wouldn't be surprised if the Clippers turned around and won in Denver and then wrapped it up in six, but this does have the feel of a seven gamer. Maybe Denver has enough to win the game at home. I'd expect the Clippers to win the game in LA, although home court has not been a ton. The home team is 2-2, so both these teams are experienced. It's not like you're going to get completely shook at home. Denver's lost home games in past, last year in the postseason. They lost three to Minnesota at home. They already lost one at home to LA. And give Denver credit. That's a resilient team. They're down 2-1. They're a big favorite in game four. And they win that game. Similar to last year, Minnesota, they're down 2-0 in that series and they win the next three. So Denver's got a little guts. I don't know that that's a team around Jokic good enough to actually win anything. But boy, Jokic is just a tremendous player. I know it's a terrible shot at the end, but he is just a tremendous, tremendous player. He really is. Oh, and it's not breaking any news that, hey, Jokic is good at basketball. But man, he is just a treat to watch. Unbelievable. So as far as the Monday games, I'd look to lay it with the Cavs minus 8.5. I think the Heat just are not even in the same class as the Cavs. The Cavs have made a mockery of the series. And I don't love getting involved in series either way when it's 3-0, because sometimes the team up 3-0 can take the foot off the gas. Sometimes the team down 3-0 can just mail it in. But I look towards the Cavs. I think the Cavs win this game and win it going away and move on to the second round. Warriors, Rockets, I thought that's a bad omen, a bad sign for the Rockets not being able to win game three with no Butler. That's a depleted Warriors team. And the Rockets just can't score. The Rockets just have no offense in the half court. So I would look towards the Warriors minus the 3.5 there. So chalk for me both of those games. And the team total for Houston at 100.5, 100.5. I look towards the under. They can't score. They can't score. Green's a great defender. Kerr's a good coach, and experience matters. Experience really. We're seeing that. Yes, in game three, we're seeing that in this series. Experience really does matter, and the Warriors have the edge in experience. If they win this, they're up 3-1, headed back to Houston again. Houston would have 5-7 at home, but boy, you give Curry three chances to win one game against this Rocket team that is just limited on offense. How did this team become a two seed? I get they're physical, they're tough, and I thought they could take this to seven. And maybe they can. Maybe they sit here and they turn around, they win Monday, and then we're headed for a seven gamer. And who knows? It's only 2-1, so you don't want to pour dirt on them, but it does look like they are limited offensively to the point where it's going to be hard for them to win this series, especially the fact they couldn't win without Butler being in the lineup in game three. And now Butler looks like he's going to be back for game four. So Knicks Pistons on Tuesday, Clippers Nuggets on Tuesday, and then Lakers T Wolves on Wednesday. Playoffs have been good. Playoffs have been really, really good. The games on Saturday, even Memphis OKC wasn't awful. Even, that was a 51-point blowout in game one. Even that series has been decent. Like the Grizzlies could have won game three and game four, which, a sweep. And you think of the 51-point game, you don't think, well, that series could be 2-2 if Ja didn't get hurt. But that series could be 2-2 if Ja didn't get hurt. Ever since game one, it's not like OKC has looked incredible. Even though they win 4-0, maybe that's a nitpick. So it was a great weekend, really. The games were outstanding. Lakers T Wolves was outstanding. I didn't love the review there. I didn't love, that whole thing where it looks like the Lakers are getting the ball, and then we review it. It's, oh, he hit his hand. We'll give him the ball. I don't know if that's the idea of replay, but it is what it is. And now the Lakers are up against it as the playoffs have really been a lot of fun. And I think we're setting up for a really, really good second round. If there was Clippers Thunder, Nuggets Thunder, some of these series, Knicks Boston should be fun. Whoever comes out of the West in the other series, would be a great series, whether it's T Wolves, Warriors, that would be fun. I'm sure the league, boy, if you gave the league truth serum, they want one more LeBron Curry playoff showdown. And the Curry part might happen. And T Wolves Warriors is not the same as Lakers Warriors from a rating standpoint. But I'm not sure it's going to happen. Lakers will need quite a rally here to win three in a row and make that happen. So enjoy the hoops. Quickly, the NFL draft, the story of the weekend, Sanders dropping. I mean, that's, boy, I think we all thought once the draft approached, all right, he's slipping a little bit. Maybe he goes in like the second round. Maybe he's not a first rounder, which is hard to believe. And then Friday, he doesn't get picked in the second or the third. And then Saturday, it's like, man, this guy might not get drafted. And look, people aren't going to say it on the record because they don't want to deal with the fallout of Deion, but it seems like the kid's not a great kid. It seems like he's arrogant in the interviews. He just gives he rubs everybody the wrong way in a million different ways. And there's question about how good he is. I saw one anonymous scout, which people get mad at anonymous quotes and anonymous coaches. You're not going to get these guys to say anything that controversial on the record. So it's one or the other. You can have them on the record and say nothing, or you can have them off the record and tell you what they really think. So people get mad when there's anonymous quotes. They say, oh, it's gutless, it shouldn't be printed. That's the only time you're going to get this stuff. So somebody was saying, I think it was a coach in the league, that first of all the personality things, doesn't come to the meetings prepared, arrogant, all of this stuff, just not a likable kid at all, just basically a jerk. But that if he was in the SEC, we wouldn't even be talking about him because he wouldn't start. Now I think that's a little bit of a stretch. But it seems like there was certainly a divide between how he is viewed in the media and how he is viewed in league circles. So he actually ends up in a spot where he's able to play. Like, it's not impossible. He starts, if not week one, pretty early in the season, because boy, that is a strange quarterback depth chart with another rookie in Gabriel, Pickett, Flacco, Watts. I mean, that's just a very odd mix to have five quarterbacks there like that. And they do have odds at DraftKings to who's going to be the starter in week one. Flacco is 7-1. I actually think that's worth a bet. Pickett's the odds on favorite. I mean, we've all seen Kenny Pickett before. How is Pickett the favorite? I don't get that. Flacco had success for them a couple of years ago. He's got a big arm. He's a veteran, knows the playbook, all those kinds of things. You probably figure they're not going to go with the rookies right away. I think Flacco at 7-1 is a bet in that market. I really think that's interesting. But we will get Jeff Schwartz thoughts on the draft, the NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs. All of that is next. This Should Have Been More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Been More podcast. You can catch him on Fox Sports, the Bear Betts podcast, where he carries the podcast. Let's
I
face it, it
do,
is
yeah.
former NFL offensive lineman Jeff Schwartz. Jeff, we just watched our Lakers
Oh,
possibly blow the series. Is that going to get them eliminated? Is there any coming back for that for Lakers? And also, how are you?
the Lakers are done. I mean, you're not winning three in a row. You couldn't win two in a row that you were winning or had pieces of the lead for 43 minutes in game three, I think it was, and about 47 and a half in game four. I mean, and I look, this is a team, and I was optimistic about it, and maybe I was too optimistic after Luka trade, that I mean they need Mark Williams. Like they need something from someone else. Dude, during the game today, so I bet Jackson Hayes, all right, under 5.5 points, rebounds, and assists. All right, because he's been playing 9 minutes a game and he's been far under that. And so he played 4 minutes today. He had six. Like I lost immediately. And then I just parlayed his unders when he got to the bench in the middle of the first quarter and didn't play a single minute the rest of the game. Like they just don't have anyone. I mean, they have no one in the front court, right? Or it's a back court. I never forget which one it is in the NBA. They just need extra. They need a little bit more, and they just don't have it right now. And Luka seems to get tired at the end of games, which isn't great. But they played their starters the entire second half. They did what Denver did yesterday. It didn't bite Denver in the butt, right? They barely survived. Because Luka, I mean not Luka, because you could tell they got tired into that game. Because what does Jokic didn't get his rest like he normally does to end the fourth quarter, to end the third quarter, and the Lakers just it's not going to happen. I don't think they're good enough right now.
Yeah, and Minnesota presents some issues defensively, depth wise, and now we go every other day in this series, which, man, when you're an older team and you're playing every other day and you're playing all your starters the second half, that's not a good recipe. So I'm guessing the plus 370 on the Lakers series price is not enough for you to bite.
I don't think so, right? I mean, I think I've been hitting the first quarters in some of these games. Like I took the Lakers first quarter game one. I took them today. I took Minnesota game three. I mean, I think the Lakers will come out fast in game five at home. But I just don't know how you just don't take Minnesota at some point live when they're down 10 in the second quarter because the Lakers start fast.
Yeah, no, I would agree. And look, it's different when you're down 3-1 is the higher seed because all you gotta do, all right, let's win five. And then if you can win game six, you're favored in game seven, but that's a lot of ifs. So Lakers, it did feel like the winner of that game was probably gonna win that series. And who knows, maybe the winner of that series goes to the conference finals with the way that bracket is set up. Anything else in these Monday games? Heat, Cavs laying 8.5. We don't need a best of seven of this. Dragging on is the Cavs are just beating them like a drum. Warriors laying 3.5 to the Rockets. Either of those interest you, side, total, prop, anything?
I think the Cavs just wrap it up. I thought OKC would wrap it up too, but they had to cover 14 and a half, Will. And they just sort of didn't play hard, like for lack of a better, like they just sort of coasted. And even then, they were up 12
Yeah.
with like 4 minutes left and had a chance to make that a 20-point win. And again, just sort of didn't do it. I just don't think the Heat have enough in them to make this. I mean, the Heat are 37 and 45. Like the Grizzlies have a little more punch than that, even without Ja Morant. So I think Cavs probably take this one. I would look again to Rockets team total under. They just have trouble scoring and I don't know on the road makes it feel any better. I think yesterday was 103, was the team total under, and I mean they started fast, but just nothing down the stretch. And I'd be concerned about that again. Young team, not in this spot before. Maybe the Warriors step back a little bit with Butler not playing this game again. Like that, Steph Curry was superhuman, healed, had some points. Otherwise, really no one else. But I mean the Rockets' offense, I think, is a concern, right? And it's been a concern all season and. I think in this big moment, I would sort of back them not being able to score.
Yeah, and the fact that they couldn't win without Butler, where it's basically Curry and nobody else, that is a bad omen. It felt like they needed to win that one without Butler. It does sound like Butler will be back. The series of the first round, Clippers and Nuggets. Clippers are minus 145 on the series price, Nuggets plus 125, and the Clippers a small 1.5 point favorite. Who wins game five? Is this destined for seven? What are your thoughts on this?
At various points, you think like, oh, this team is the better team, right? and then it just doesn't, the game doesn't end that way. I would think this goes seven. There's what we've had, 4 games, 2 points, 2 points, 5 points. That's like sort of what it's been. 3 points. I'm looking up 2-2-3 and one blowout.
Yeah.
I think it probably goes seven. If you have to play Jokic the entire second half, it's probably not a recipe for success. Like, I just think that he got winded, and the Clippers took bad shots. Kawhi took two threes in a row from the wing on those final possessions. I don't know. That's not his shot. I don't know why he just settled for those. And even at the end, I mean, look, Joker was incredible. That was an objectively a terrible game-winning shot. It was a twisting, twirling fadeaway three from the wing, and Gordon bailed him out. I'm not saying Jokic didn't play well. Obviously, we know he played well, but the fact is, like, he got bailed out. I think they were like, Will, I was on the radio last night. I had my app open, ready to wager on Clippers money line as soon as it hit overtime. Like, I was trying to get the first number possible because I
Oh,
think
they
the
would have
Clippers
killed them. They would have
they
killed them in
would have
overtime.
killed him in overtime. And so I was ready to go. Like, I was, and they didn't. I mean, that's sports, right? You don't win all the games you think you're going to. So I think it probably goes seven. But look, I think if I were to rank it, it'd be seven, the Clippers in six, and probably Nuggets in six. I think the Nuggets in six is probably nearly impossible. But I think that the better team through most of the series has been Los Angeles.
I totally agree. And if I'm Denver, I know you got issues with depth. I would keep Westbrook. He sat game four. Keep him away. He kills their spacing. You never know what he's going to do out there. I know he's had his moments in the series, but I would keep him. Boy, I'd keep him far, far away from the action. Did you think the dunk should have counted? Do you think it was a good call?
Okay, so I have thoughts on this. What? Okay, so if you shoot a game-winning shot, right, and the ball is off your hand before it hits, 0-0-0, that counts. Okay, like, we know that. But what if your hand is, like, sort of on the ball when it's already in the cylinder? Like, I think his hand was still on the ball when it hit 0-0, but the ball was through the basket. Like, it wasn't coming back out. So I don't know, Will. I think it was the right call, but I'll say this about replay review, is that replay review, in my opinion, should be to overturn egregiously blown calls. So,
Yes.
like, on the court, they actually ruled that no basket. Okay. So, like, was there enough to overturn that is the question. I don't know. Even at the end of the Lakers game today, I mean, is replay review is LeBron, is that what it's for, fouling like Edwards? Like, is that really what replay, we're gonna zoom in on an overhead angle? Like, he hit his wrist, not his hand. Like, to me, that's not what replay review is for. Because what's the difference between a play with 13 seconds left and a play with 3 minutes left? To me, it's the same thing, right? If you can review that, you can review, you should review everything. So I'm fine with it. It doesn't bother me. But I do think that it was a 50-50.
Did you have a problem with the no call on Knicks Pistons?
I didn't end of the game. I was at a thing. I'll tell you this, Will. So I did not see the end of the game. It was game four, right?
Yeah.
I was My kid got into a private school. I know, your kids, I think, are a little younger than mine, and from middle school. And I've never been a private school person. My wife is not a private school person. Like, none of our families, like, we've never had private school experience, but we applied to one middle school, one private school. We got in, and it's hard to pass it up. It's a good school, so we said yes. I'm gonna have to work some extra hours, though. I'm gonna have to beg some bosses for some more work to pay for this freaking thing. We went to an event today that was like a welcome event, and I'll tell you what, man. I mean, it's like you're in college. Like, it's just, the vibe is so different. There was like. It was a welcome to the school event, and there were cheerleaders. Like, there were parents there, like, welcome you in this like tunnel. They were saying like all these nice things, like, to my wife, like, oh, I love your hair, I love your dress, like all these overly compliment. Like, it was just was like,
Do they have food?
yeah, they had burgers, hot dogs, macaroni and cheese. Like, it was just, I mean, look, we pay a lot of money for this. Like, we should, you should get this service, but it is kind of crazy, like, how just different it is than anything I've ever experienced. I mean, if we went to the middle school here, which is not a bad middle school, you just would show up the first day, or like meet the teacher day. Like, that's the first day we'd ever show up. It's like meet the teacher day, or like school tour day 2 days before school started. Like, when we started kindergarten, There was like a meet the teacher, like a we went for like an hour, like an ice cream social. Like that's all there was. And this is like a whole, this is the second event in the last week that we've had.
How is the spread? What did you have? Did you have one of every burger, hot dog, mac and cheese? How did that go?
I had a burger and some of the mac and cheese, but they had a hot dogs that looked like bratwurst. I'm not a big hot dog guy, but so I went and had, I was like, oh, this is like a bratwurst. This looks pretty good. And it was a hot dog. But like it was one of those like fancy looking hot dogs. It looked like a bratwurst. I was genuinely surprised. And
Some
it
bad
was,
beats.
yeah, they, like the football state, it was in the football area, like athletic area. They have like a football stadium that's awesome. Their football team is super good. They had the 5-star offensive tackle in this 2025 class with Tennessee. So it's wild, bro. I never thought I'd be a private school parent. It never crossed our minds till last year. We applied to one private school. Like that was it. Like if we didn't get in, we're like, oh, cool, we'll go to the local middle school, like whatever. And we happened to get in, and like it's just a different, whole different life, man.
Wow. Before we get to some NFL stuff, draft, rookie of the year, anything, hockey? Yeah, because you're betting hockey, you're betting everything.
I think the Avalanche on the 60-minute line in game five tomorrow is probably the way I'd go. I mean, Dallas the series is tied at two, I believe, and Dallas has led for 71 seconds of the series. So I think, the way to play this is just Carolina's is better. Like I think they're just better. And that's the way I would play that. And even like out to Tuesday, I think the Maple Leafs beat the Senators and the series ends in Toronto. So that's, I mean, it's minus 165 right now. Even there's a couple games I think that end on Tuesday. I think the Maple Leafs and the Hurricanes both end their series against the Devils. So I would look in that direction.
All right, let's get into it. NFL. It's cliche, but people like it. Winners, losers. We'll start with the good. Who jumps out to you is like, man, I can't believe this team. They really stockpiled some players. I said Denver is really quietly putting together a good roster. I thought Arizona had a decent draft, but you are the expert. Who jumped out to you?
Look, nothing I think was done that changes my opinion about a team's ability to win or lose a Super Bowl. But I do think that the Steelers still just don't have a quarterback. I mean, I'm not sure they should have drafted Sanders, but like, what are they going to do? So like, I think that's a legitimate question. Is like, what if you're on the Steelers over 8.5, are you just on it because the Steelers just don't ever, will don't ever like loot like go under 500? I don't know what the football reason would be. You mentioned Denver, like they added Barron, which I think is a big add for them just because he's a really good football player, and you add him to the mix of having obviously already Surtain in that division, how important it's going to be to be able to stop the Chiefs and whatnot. I mean, I thought the Eagles and Chiefs did a good job again, no surprise, right? But again, I don't think anything like really moved me. I did see a fun tweet though that was, if you rearrange the Browns draft in like a different order, it's actually not a bad draft, but just when you draft a quarterback in the third round and a quarterback in the fifth round and two running backs, it like looks like a funky draft, even though it actually is, it's not in a vacuum. So I think teams did well, but nothing really moves me off my thoughts about any team except Pittsburgh. I think I'm more inclined to take the under now.
And nobody, you're like, man, this team just doesn't get it. That there's no whiffs. Is it these teams all have analytics now where, 15, 20 years ago, it's less technical. So teams don't at least, coming away where you're just confused by what they do. And we don't have the Raiders anymore who, would do some funky things. Or we still have them. We
Yeah,
just different personnel,
I'm
different
not
management.
sure. I'm not sure Jacksonville knows what they're doing. I don't know if that's a, I
Good
mean,
one.
that trade, I think we will have to analyze in a couple of years, because if they're bad this season, let's say Trevor Lawrence just isn't the guy. I mean, it's certainly possible, right? Then they don't have a first round pick next season. It's like, what do they do at quarterback then? It's like it feels like they're setting themselves up for a little bit of they gotta win this year or else.
No, I would completely agree. NFL Rookie of the Year, offense and defense are up. And look, these books are they waste no time. They're happy to take your money and hold it either until next February or hold it forever. What jumps out to you at either as we look at these awards? I can pull them up here as I just have my
Yeah,
screen
so
here. Yeah, go ahead.
offensive rookie of the year. I mean, Gentry's going to have such high volume, right? I mean, he's going to have high volume and get probably 1,000 yards just because of who he is. And so, like that to me feels like mean, I know it's at 300 right now, 250 or 200. I don't think you should bet it now. I think you have the opportunity to wait a little bit on that and just see sort of how the season starts. And then, maybe go to, again, to like Quinshon Judkins or any of these running backs, in my opinion. I think that's probably the way to play this. The quarterbacks to me don't stand out. Cam Ward, I don't, it's not a great team. Shuck's not going to play very much. Dart Sanders, I would go. So I would look at running backs. The other one I thought is Tyler Warren. We saw what Brock Bowers did last season. There's no Jane Daniels, I think, in my opinion, on this draft. So maybe Warren is the way to go. That's 2,800 right now. So 28-1. There's 20-1. Obviously, shop around for the best number. But those are the ones that come to mind as far as who I look at.
What did you make of the Sanders slide? How surprised were you? I know as it got closer, all right, maybe he could drop to the second round. No, I don't think anybody thought, where he went, what 144, fifth round. What'd you make of it?
Yeah, so I think when you listen to people that are in the know and they explain what happened, it makes sense a little bit, even though it is shocking, right? Like once, if you even look at the second round quarterbacks in the NFL, they don't play and they're not good. It's first round quarterbacks or Jalen Hurts. Like he's the best example, right? Well, like Jalen Hurts is like otherwise, like they're not good. And once Sanders got past the first round, I think teams just really weren't as interested in him because once you get past the first round and once you get past the second round specifically, and other people said this, I'm not saying that it's groundbreaking, like you're not viewed as a starter, right? They're not drafting you to start immediately at any position. And then that dreaded word distractions come in, right? Distractions. Do you want that distraction on your roster, right? Like as a fourth round quarterbacks. So like that I think is what is happening or what did happen with Sanders. Just once he kind of got past the second round, I think teams were like, yeah, I just don't know if I want all that comes with drafting Sanders in the building. And so that's it's probably a little unfair to him. I don't think it's really a problem. And it would not have been a problem. But that's sort of where I come out on it. And I think too, Will, it's important to sort of for the media to I think take a look at how they covered Sanders. And I get it, man. Look, we talk a lot about Colorado on your show, on our Bear Bets podcast, on the radio. And after the first year, I really sort of slowed down in like how I talked about them because it wasn't worth the backlash if you said anything negative. Like getting your social media mentions blown up to say Colorado is not as good as we think. Like, what's the purpose of that? Like, what's the purpose of people calling you names? It's and I think we look at so that being said, there were two camps with Sanders. There was the on TV, he's the fifth best quarterback, excuse me, fifth best player on my big board. And then there's like, I'll give him shout outs like Nate Tice, Dane Brugler, like the guys that are not on television, they're like, yeah, he's like, I don't know, 25th. Nate Tice had him 40th on his big board. And I think they were more right. Todd McShay like didn't have him as a first round pick. I think by the end of it, like the guys that were not worried about having their opinion out in the open on Sanders, I think gave us a better report, scouting report on him. And again, I'm not saying that Mel Kiper, for example, wanted to rank him 30th and was like, I can't do it. He's five. But I think in the back of their heads, it was like, I'm not. What? Why would I want to get blasted on social media for this? Like, what's the point of that? So, I mean, Dion went after Dan Orlovsky the other day. I call him a hater. Like Dan is like the least hater of any hater ever. He's like the most vanilla, but he's never gonna hate anybody. He's like the most positive analyst there is. So I think it's just not worth it. I could have said, and I didn't think he's a second round pick anyways. I was going the first round. I could have said like, you know what? I've evaluated him. I think he's the 35th best player. But dude, my mentions would have been destroyed. It's not worth it to me. I don't get paid for that.
What did you think Cleveland, who did not look overly joyed when they showed the announcement of the pick? Do you think that was something where the owner, nudged in and butted in and made them pick him?
I don't get the process of that, quite honestly. So Gabriel's a backup. I think we agree. I think Gabriel's only a backup. Jimmy Haslam was like, you have to draft Sanders. I guess. It looked like they were held hostage, right? If Cleveland doesn't draft him there, does he get drafted at all?
I would say at some point somebody grabs him, but at some point, when is like, why wouldn't he at some point have happened already? So I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Yeah. It is curious. Again, I don't think he's a fifth round quarterback. But I thought first round, when we got to the end of it, was probably pretty high. I mean, what's crazy is like I had my first mock going two, because I thought it was just that important for a quarterback. We often overlook
Yeah.
a lot of things in the NFL. Look, there was a player drafted in the second round with like two sexual assault allegations against him. I mean, the NFL has shown over the years that it will ignore, and this is not, I'm not defending the NFL at all on this. It will ignore, plenty of things to draft and sign players and do whatever you can as long as you're talented. And clearly here they didn't feel that way with Sanders, which again I'm still surprised. I'm not gonna lie, I'm surprised, Will, about how it went down.
Last one, defensive rookie of the year. Anything jump out to you? Abdul Carter, the short shot at +250, then Hunter at +750, and it goes from there.
I mean, just probably pick the guy you think is going to have the most sacks, right? So probably, I mean, Jalen Walker's gonna have his own time to do that, right? In Atlanta. Abdul Carter's got three other pass rushers on his defense. I mean, it's just so hard. Like, these safeties might be good, but how are you gonna judge a say, Barron? I don't know how you're gonna judge these guys. So I would probably lean toward the idea that you pick your favorite pass rusher in this class that you think is going to have a good season and take him. That's probably the best way to play it.
Would Hunter at 750? I know it's hard to get stats as a second as a corner, but just because of the hype machine, the popularity, and if he does anything, if he's got a pick six, maybe a
Yeah.
tiebreakers, if he does something on offense, do you think because it's a popularity contest, Hunter is worth a play or no?
What position is he playing? Do we know yet? Because
No.
if he's playing wide receiver, then no, you can't make this. He's
I mean,
playing corner.
he's got to be playing both. You wouldn't trade up all that stuff for him for just get one of them. There's no way. He's got to be playing both, I would imagine.
It's just an insane amount of usage on him. Like, I just don't know how that's sustainable through the season.
Yeah. All right, Jeff. Appreciate it, man. Where can we find your stuff?
Bear Bets Podcast. Just go to my Twitter at Jeff Schwartz. Plenty of places to find me. I am around.
All right, Jeff. Appreciate it, man. We'll do it again soon.
Thank you,
Thanks.
buddy. Take care.
All right, thanks to Jeff Schwartz. Thanks for listening. Goldboys.com. Check out the Discord. Rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. We'll be back Wednesday. See you then.